Groobs, it's Pixel Fiend. How you doing? I was listening to Infonomicon, and you told me to call, so I'm calling.
Hey, this is Digital Acid. I was wondering if I was the first one to call in. I'm probably not, but just call me at...
Yo, this is Bob. What the hell's happening?
Hey, Groobs, this is YouTube. You Pajir, my eliteness. You have a great show, and I can't believe I actually said... You got the info and the nom, and you got your icon, so it's all good. So send me my CD now.
Troops, what's up? This is Whitefly. Just letting you know, someone out there who cares about correct fucking spelling. Anniversary is spelled with two N's. Wait. Fuck, these surcharges on these quest phones are killing me. But anyways, this is Whitefly. And I just want to call you back to make sure you know I was being sarcastic earlier and let you know that I thought your show was a great addition to the community. Yeah, that's about it. Alright, later.
Back in the olden days, this is what printers sounded like. So I've got 30 seconds of it just for you people that have never heard one of these bastards go. And you might say, damn, this 30 seconds lasts forever. Well, that's like 8 fucking lines of text printed out, so you just fucking deal with it.
You'll find our snack bar chock full of good things to eat and drink. Tasty, tempting hot dogs, thirst-quenching soft drinks, fresh, crunchy popcorn. You've plenty of time, so visit the snack bar now.
The apocalyptic vision of a criminally insane, charismatic cult leader.
Well, this is Droops, and this is Infonomicon Radio, episode 38. Today's date is the 13th of June, and if you are a longtime listener to Infonomicon, or if you're someone that has just come to it and have been looking around, June 23rd last year was the pilot episode of Infonomicon. I was drunk, I said, well, shit, I can do this fucking radio stuff. And, well, we've almost come to a complete year. We don't have anywhere near 52 episodes, but 38's pretty fucking good for the money you fuckers pay me. Oh, wait, y'all don't fucking pay me. So if anyone has to bitch, you just shut the fuck up now. Well, anyway, today's show is about competency. And competency is this big fucking word. And what does it mean? Well, it means different things to different people. And to me, competency means you get what you're trying to do done, and you do it well without fucking up everything else around you. Like, if I had to go to town, and I killed 4 people on the way to town, probably wouldn't be a very competent driver, even though I accomplished my goal. And with this talk about competency, I've got a whole broad range of shit to talk about. Now, I'm not the most competent guy in the world. You can look at my grades and the fact that I've been in college longer than most doctors that went back and got a second, third doctor degree. And been there a long time. In my life, what's going on, I have a roommate now, because he's a dumb fuck and doesn't have a place to live. And he's probably listening right now, but he's watching online poker instead of studying. He just called me an asshole. But he plays guitar, and hopefully we're going to have some very, very cool, funny guitar music to play. He and another friend are actually working on an album. What's that album called? Jew Gotta Be Kidding Me. Because one of their friends is dating this wonderful Jewish girl, and they sit around playing their guitars and making fun of her in their music. So hopefully we're going to have some of that. Anyway, he's never listened to the radio show other than just a few minutes, if that much. He doesn't really understand computers as much as some of us do, but he's a good guy. And hopefully the next episode he can be on it, we'll have a good thing he can talk about with us. Now, with competency, we talked a few weeks ago, or was it a month ago, about the national ID card. And I don't particularly think this is a good idea. Some people do, some people don't, whatever. But here's just an example of something that could go wrong with this. If this massive system falls into incompetent hands. And as we know, most systems fall into incompetent hands, and it's really hard to guarantee the integrity of your data and that your data won't be compromised for something. Well, anyway, Fairfax, Virginia, there's an investigation going on because a computer was stolen, and this computer had 80,000 Justice Department employees' personal information on it. 3 weeks ago, they found out about this, and this computer was actually stolen from Omega World Travel, which is in Fairfax, and that's close to Washington for you people that are lame with their geography. Now, the government had this data, or a business had this data, as it would be. There's just employees. And they gave that data to someone that was not secure with it, someone that was incompetent with their data, and now 80,000 people have had their data compromised. Now, of course, the Justice Department says, well, we don't provide Omega Travel with the kinds of personal identification information that's usually exploited for identity theft. No personal addresses, social security numbers, or office locations were on the computer. Well, that's well and good, but if anyone's had a travel agency, sometimes they have more information. Just because the Justice Department didn't give it to them, they're a group trusted by the Justice Department, so the employees gave them their information. Other things, they can have information like home addresses, telephone numbers, even passport numbers and other identifiers. Other identifiers is the key word there. What's your identifier right now? Oh, it's your social security number, your government stamp on your forehead. But what happens when we have a national ID card? Well, that's just your frickin' identifier that's going to be given out to even more fucking people. So, I don't understand the fucking point of that. And, there's a lot of information other than that they've given them. Well, who's responsible for this? 80,000 people at a dollar a pop's $80,000. Hopefully they'd charge more than a dollar a piece in compensation to these people for being fucked over like that. And that's really, really, really fucking shitty. Alright, let's go on to more identification. Orlando, Florida, the pecker of the United States. Their airport, you can pay for this high-tech card that promises to whisk people through airport security lines. Under this program, travelers who use Orlando International Airport, or should I say Internacional-o Airport, I don't know, I'm not a Spanish guy, and are willing to pay $80 annual fee, will be able to register for a government security screening, which includes fingerprints, iris scans, that's when they stick your eye in a microwave and they look at it real close, as well as an application that asks for basic identity information. Travelers who pass the screening and who will be subject to continual checks against government watch lists will receive a special card that permits them to use an express lane through airport security. That lane expedites the screening processes and frees cardholders from secondary searches. Secondary searches, eh? Now, in this initial program, it's going to accept as many as 30,000 travelers. Membership's open to anyone who can pass all the stuff, and the process for signing up is online at flyclear.com. But travelers, of course, still have to go to the airport to get their iris images and fingerprints taken. This is more identity-based fucking security. It's fucking goddamn stupid. If I have a company with 5 people, I cannot effectively identity-based secure these motherfuckers to not hurt my company. I mean, I could be a really bad employee and say I don't like this company, and even though I have identification that says I get to go in there, I could still be a fucker. You've got to be watching for that. And here's 30,000 people that they don't really know, they don't maybe have a criminal record, and they have their irises fucking scanned. Well, if you get blown up in a goddamn airplane, it doesn't really matter what your eyes fucking look like. What's to say they don't have a guy that's in the clear? Just some dude that's in college, and he says, you know, I just want to be a terrorist. I don't like these pig dog Americans. I'm going to fuck up some shit. He goes through all this stuff. He's still clear. How is that protecting anybody? if somebody bad wants to get somewhere they can't go, they will find a way. This is just another way of making it easier for them. Now, I'm not saying that the security they've got going on right now is awesome. I'm not saying it's even moderately good. But this is just another way of weakening it. And if you continually allow people to get around the rules, more people and more people are going to get around the rules, and then all your rules are fucked. It's fucking stupid. And they're going to get a shitload of money for this damn thing. And it's just going to be like the express lane. There's only going to be one fucking open, and it's going to be so much of a goddamn wait. It's going to be exactly the same, except now they have your fingerprints and your fucking eyes scanned. I, for one, am going to be waiting in the long line or driving my ass there. Ah, fucking Christ. Alright, moving on to something more of a national scope. We've got Deep Throat. Now, Deep Throat, for all you people that are either blind to the media or young enough not to remember it, was this fella that reported what Nixon was doing. And when Nixon had his docs dropped of sorts, he resigned. He's the only U.S. president to ever resign. And the way that Deep Throat, who was the guy that narked on him, got the information out is he contacted two reporters. And these reporters were sworn to secrecy for the rest of their life until the old man died. And by the time, right now, the fucker's an old man. And it was I believe the second in charge of the FBI, first in charge, whatever. Details don't really matter because I'm not going that into the story. But how did he do all these meetings? Well, back then, they didn't have the interweb. Phones could be tapped and regularly were tapped, just like they are today. So they had to ride around meeting underground garages, cool things like screws that are hollowed out and neat crap like that, little cloak and dagger. But how would you do it today? Well, you would use the internet. Now, of course, we all know when you use the internet, it leaves logs. And logs are really, really bad. If you get on IRC, everything is logged. And you can be damn sure that if the case arises, everything you say NIRC will be held against you in a court of law. So, you'd have to go around. So maybe you use a proxy. You have your computer connect to another computer that connects to another computer that connects to another computer. That's still a paper trail to you. You can go to wireless hotspots. A lot of these have cameras. You should watch out for that. But let's say you went out in front of somebody's house, and it's a crowded street, so people aren't going to say, hey, why is this guy parked out in the middle of nowhere in front of my house using my internet? And they look out the window and they just see a whole row of cars and they don't notice you. So, one, you're not suspicious right there. And you use their wireless network. Maybe they're logging, maybe they're not. Then you drive away. You never go back there. You never reconnect to that. Before you connect to this, you pop in a live Linux CD, boot that bitch up. The network card you use, don't use the one built into your laptop. Use one that you bought with cash from somebody, or from some store where they didn't know you, with no cameras. The MAC address in your card can be logged. Things like that's important. So, you would drive around, hop on somebody's wireless network with a clean computer, and a clean network card. And you'd probably want to get rid of that network card after you used it a couple times, or maybe even after you used it one time. If you're doing something on a national security level, it probably doesn't matter the value of a cheap little card. But anyway, Deep Throat was very competent. His secret never got out. People have been looking since the 70s trying to figure out who this fuck is, and it's taken till now for it to come out. Now, I'm still kind of doubtful. I feel that this old man may or may not have been Deep Throat, but he's definitely going to make a shitload of fucking money. Magazines have come to him, newspapers have come to him, movie people, book people, they've all come to him. I think that's fucking cool for this old man. I hope he lives long and gets to spend some of the money of this that he has. Well, moving around to some more competency. Phone company competency. We all know about the magic, the wonder, the amazingness of voice over IP. VoIP. Well, Earthlink has teamed up with this little company. It's called Covad Communications Group, They're a little broadband voice and data company in San Jose, California. And they have some technology that links the internet with regular phone network, which takes away some of the key issues which some VoIP providers have struggled, such as you get E911, you get phone usage during a power outage. That's really cool. And Earthlink is hoping to become a major competitor to the Bells. And the new phone service is a step toward that goal. Well, thank you, Mr. Steve Howe, Vice President of Voice at Earthlink. And your company has a long way to go. And let me give you a little history lesson. There was this big company, Ma Bell. And when they got so anti-competitive that no one else could compete, the government broke them up. Oh no, now they're all broken up. Took a long time, but it broke them up. They used to be like a hot fucking stock. And let's say you compete with Bell South and you compete with Verizon and all this other things. Well, the government regulates against them and for them. If you come on and you're using their network, because AT&T and the phone companies own the infrastructure right there, and you're using it for cheap phone stuff, they're going to bitch and they're going to whine about it, and the government is going to say, hey, Earthlink, we know you're paying to use these lines, you're leasing it, but we're going to have to up that, because that's actually something that's regulated, so that the baby Bells can't keep people off their network. So everybody has to share in some money there. And I feel, Earthlink, that if you come up with a much better solution to the phone, it still will never work as long as you have to go across their network. They're going to make their money. They're a lot better at business than you. Good luck with all this. I think your technology is cool, but y'all should probably think about this before you invest a lot of money into it. Now, if you're actually quite confident, and you're only investing the money in it to build your brand name, just to change it to something else later, you know, this plan, and keep your Earthlink, and people say, oh, Earthlink's a good service, that's really good for you, because you're in kind of a drying up market. And I'm glad that you're innovating a little bit and moving on over to some DSL, which is very nice. But remember, the phone companies will win. All right, hey, we're doing news this show. I had an email the other day. Some fella, not going to mention who, is trying to do his own radio show, and he's decided he's going to give up. And, well, that's well and good. And he said, well, I should just be the co-host of Infonomicon, because the show sucks now, and this, that, and the other. Well, you know what? The show fucking sucks. Fuck you. I don't care. I'm learning shit. That's why I'm doing this. It's mainly for my benefit. But if you're not competent enough to make a radio show, like one episode, what makes anyone think that you're competent enough to be a regular contributor to the show? Someone that's dependable, you know, we can get in touch with, things like that. Doesn't really make me feel good for you. And if you want to be a competent person, people need to know that when they ask you to do something, you can be depended upon. Now, I've tried really hard to get this show out as much as I can. And life sucks right now for me because my smart ass decided to take accounting and statistics over the summer. So I'm taking, for 1 month, nothing but accounting and statistics, and it's a whole semester's worth of classes of both. So that means I study a shitload. And I should probably be doing that now, but I got a little drunk, and I was watching some, or listening on the radio, to some baseball. My school's playing for the Super Regionals in college baseball, and we've won one, and we've almost won the second one, and we lost it. But third game's coming up tomorrow. It's going to be a good game. And I'm probably going to do that instead of studying. I'll probably end up going to that and getting really, really fucking drunk. Because I sure love drinking. Well, the European Union. It's like the United States of Europe. They're fighting Microsoft. And they made this claim they were going to charge Microsoft $5 million a day till they do what their equivalence of a Justice Department said. Well, they're not. They just made an empty fucking statement. You know, there's no fucking sense in threatening something if you can't back it up. And makes you look stupid and, what's the word? incompetent. Well, they're somewhat competent. They're making concessions, but they've got Microsoft making concessions too. Oh, except Microsoft was found guilty and should have to fucking comply. They shouldn't have to make concessions. They should fucking... If I steal a car and they catch me, I'm doing fucking time. There's no, hey guys, I'm not going to steal any more cars next year, and I'll try to drive safer if y'all don't send me to jail. That doesn't fucking work. But of course, if I had several million dollars and I just gave it to them, it would work like a fucking charm. Anyway, with these concessions that are going on, the European Union regulators, at least for now, have dropped the threat to fine Microsoft the money, and Microsoft is going to offer more varied and flexible license terms for programming information that rivals need to write Microsoft-compatible software. More varied and flexible licensing terms. Yay! That's awesome. Thanks, Microcrap. They're going to allow the sale of software that incorporates its programming information worldwide, not just in Europe. Well, that's good. They're going to peg royalty requests to market rates and not to Microsoft's near-monopoly position in PC operating systems and applications. Wow. So they're not going to use their monopoly in an evil way anymore? Isn't that sweet of them to make that little concession? They're going to offer some non-innovative programming information royalty-free. Ooh. It's funny how that works sometimes, isn't it? Well, the European Union is giving an upbeat assessment of this. They say, I'm happy that Microsoft has recognized... You know, I'm cooking something, and it's probably burning right now. Y'all give me a second.
Hello, this is Droops with Infonomicon Radio, and I love penis. No, I'm just playing. This is his roommate, and I'd like to tell y'all a quick little story while Droops is in the bathroom. It seems Droops likes to cook, but, you see, he is incompetent at cooking. Earlier today, we started cooking a pizza, and he thought he'd have a bright idea that he'd cook the dinner early, put the chicken on the stove in a bucket of water, and we were boiling the chicken. Well, Droops decided to play with the radio show here and left the chicken boiling for like 3 hours. Now the whole fucking house smells like burnt-ass fucking chicken, and I don't have anything to eat tonight because of Droops and his incompetency.
You're a pussy.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, it looks like he's back. I'm going to let him take over.
Move the fuck out of the way. Get my goddamn chair back. Go to your room, and don't leave there until I say you can come out. Goddamn roommate, son of a bitch. Anyway, sure enough, it was chicken that was burning. House smells really good. But I smoked some cigarettes and got something to drink, so I'm doing alright. And if you hadn't noticed, I'm pretty fucking drunk right now. I drank a lot of wine today, and then I just went on over to the Gentleman Jack. And I like my Gentleman Jack cold, but I don't really like it frozen. I just like it on a little ice, nothing else. And that's a lot of liquor that I put through my body listening to baseball. But anyway, yeah, Microsoft sucks. European Union's being pussies. They're getting bullied around or paid off by Microsoft. And this isn't a surprise to any of us, because that's what they fucking do. And Brad Smith, he's their lawyer. He's a pussy. Well, anyway, one last bit of incompetency. Or actually, this one is actually competency. This is good. XM. They're trying to do something that a lot of companies don't do. They're trying to make money on an established market by coming up with a new way of doing things, and they're doing it. This is really cool. Clear Channel's a big bad motherfucker. Of course, they own a large stake in XM, but we're going to forget about that for just a moment. They're competing with Real Radio, and they're competing with their other satellite provider, and their, what's that, Sirius? And they're also competing with internet radio. And I personally like internet radio a lot. And I even emailed XM and said, hey, you can use my show on your stuff for free content. You don't even got to pay me a dime. And then they said, oh, you have to do this, 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 and this. And pretty much just got a standard form letter reply. But anyway, XM has said to themselves, how are we going to go and compete with our competition? We're competent fellas. We can figure this out. And they said, well, let's embrace other technologies and cross-market a little bit. Well, they're going with this group called Audible. And Audible.com has newspapers and magazines and stories, this, that, and the other, where you can pay a small fee and get put to your portable media device. Well, they've had an agreement now, and some of XM's content, like Bob Edwards and Opie and Anthony, who are really, really poor, it's going to be available from Audible. And they're going to be able to put some Audible content on XM. So XM subscribers will find out about Audible, and Audible subscribers that has a lot of fucking subscribers. What's the number? Forgot. Had a little whiskey today. But they're going to find out about XM. So that's really, really cool. And new XM radios that are coming out next year are going to be capable of receiving XM and storing Audible.com content, which will help them compete in the marketplace with people with portable devices and real radio, this, that, and the other. Of course, the regular radio industry isn't taking this sitting down, and they're trying to push this thing called digital radio, which means a much wider variety of stations will soon be available on regular radio receivers. New radio receivers that can receive digital radio. So us old fucks that have radios that actually have to warm up for the vacuum tubes aren't going to be able to get this. Or people that bought new radios that aren't digital radio ready are going to have to buy new radios, and that's really good for Sony and all the rest of them. Now, this new XM stuff that's going to be able to record stuff isn't going to be able to play MP3s yet. But a person familiar with the matter, a deep throat of satellite radio, as it would be, said that matter would likely be the next step. So that's fucking cool. Well, anyway, this has been Infonomicon, and this has only been two tracks, because I kind of stopped it when I went to stop my chicken from burning, because I'm just a fucking idiot. My name is Droops. Our website is infonomicon.org. Some people don't like the audio that plays when you open the site, but, you know, fuck you. There's Adblock and Google. You can get rid of it if you want. And let's see, how do we contact Droops to say stuff? You can email me, droops@infonomicon.org, voicemail, 206-984-9569. Sometimes on AIM, it's Infonomicon's my username. And there was a contest last week to see who won stuff, and I'm going to email people, probably today or tomorrow, tell who won. UT Crazy won, but I've got some extra stuff to go out. And they're going to have to send me some docs so I can get on with my mailing ass. Well, anyway, this has been Infonomicon, episode 38, and I'm Mickey fucking Finn.
You don't always have to fuck her hard. In fact, sometimes that's not right to do. Sometimes you gotta make some love and fucking give her some smoochies too. And sometimes you got to squeeze. Sometimes you got to say please. Sometimes you got to say hey, I'm gonna fuck you softly. I'm gonna screw you gently.
That's painful that we can't
hear the song. Sweetly, I'm gonna ball you discreetly. And then I say, hey, I brought you flowers.
Where the hell are my flowers?
Then I say, wait a minute, Sally. I think you got something in your teeth. Can you get it out for me? That's fucking teamwork! What's your favorite position? That's cool with me. It's not my favorite, but I'll do it for you. What's your favorite?